Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Oh, good morning. Hi there. What's going on? Hope you're having just a lovely Tuesday so far. Whether you're listening live on Sportsnet 960 The Fan, the Radio Player Canada app, or one of our many other streaming areas, well, welcome to your 6 o'clock hour. Or you're maybe listening on the podcast, Google, Spotify, Amazon, Apple. Subscribe, download, and never miss a moment, never miss an interview. And we appreciate all the people who listen there, too. And if you're doing that, this is hour one. It is September the 20th. My name is Matt Rose. Patty Dumas joining me today. Hi, Patrick.
Hey, Matty. How you doing, buddy?
Oh, it's so good.
So good.
We got Alex Brody in the other room. What's going on, Brodes?
Oh, not much. Feeling good.
Feeling good. Did you have a great birthday?
It was his birthday yesterday.
It was his 23rd birthday.
Oh my
yesterday.
God! I'm sorry, Alex. Happy birthday!
And you
buddy.
Didn't even come in.
No worries.
Well, I was dying. Kind of still am. but oh, happy birthday! But I hope it was the best. Hope we had a good weekend. Celebrated.
Yeah.
Played some blackjack.
It was a lot of fun.
Did you go to the Nino?
Yeah, I'm kind of a avid blackjack player these days.
Yeah, me too. I like blackjack. It's dangerous.
Where do you like to go?
Me? On my phone.
Oh. Yeah, that is dangerous. Yeah.
It's very dangerous.
Blackjack,
on my
any
phone.
Time of the day. Wow. Lovely. Awesome. So, yeah, Brody's 23 now. Incredible.
Hell.
We're happy to have him. I know. It made me feel that's a little old, too.
That's 99?
Yeah.
So oh, wow.
I got a cool birthday. It's the 9th month, September 19th day, 1999.
Wow.
It's pretty cool.
That is kind of neato. Wow. Right on. Well. Congratulations, dude. 23. Way to be.
That's awesome.
Thank you.
How are you? You had you enjoy watching the football yesterday?
Yeah. I mean, Sunday was meh, but Monday night, those two games were pretty, I mean, you'd want better games for sure, and you were hoping for a little bit more entertaining, maybe, especially for that second one. It was good. I was a fan of the two games. How are you? Were you a fan of the two games?
Yeah, it was pretty good. I started watching the first one a little bit late.
Yeah, because it's not like the old doubleheaders were where it was like you got the early East Coast game, then you got the 8 o'clock West Coast game. That thing's ending at like 11:30 almost. It's like, get out of here.
Do you know why they were doing the two games yesterday?
I'm pretty sure it's part of the new deal that ABC ESPN have, that they're going to have more of these coming.
They're going to be more?
Oh, yeah. Starting not this year, but next year. I think I've been batting this around. I mainly thought of it during the pandemic time because there was the NFL was the only game in town with most of the sports in the fall. Like there was no NHL, there was no basketball to start. Like if you're thinking 2020, fall, the NFL was the only thing. It's only a matter of time before this league is a 7 day a week thing.
You think so?
Oh yeah. With the amount of money that gets thrown around, they can schedule it. They'll figure it out a way to schedule it, and they don't care. Obviously, the health of these players don't matter. But I just think it's only a matter of time. Not a matter of time. Maybe 10, 15 years. Where you'll see Wednesdays, Tuesdays have NFL on them.
Really?
Because it's just a machine.
But then at that point, you have to also concede that your Sundays aren't going to be as busy because you have way less games.
That's
you get
okay.
teams that are still on buys.
That's okay. I'm not saying you have like one or two games on the Sunday. I think you can still have your majority on the Sunday and you leave the Saturday for college, whatever, down south. But I think take advantage of the other. You want to be the main thing. If you want to take the NBA head-to-head on a Thursday night, Tuesday night, which they do already on Thursdays.
Yeah.
They'll win. They'll win. We'll watch.
Yeah, they win pretty much everything. That's a very good point by you. Just kind of scrolling through the NFL schedule here, and it doesn't look like you're going to deal with any of these Monday nighters for quite some time. I've reached week 13, and I haven't found one
There
yet.
Won't be any two. That was the only one this year.
Oh.
I'm saying like there will be more in the future. They'll start doing these staggered things, and ESPN will get in on the Super Bowl rotation as well.
Are they doing any streaming for their games? Kind of like baseball?
I don't know.
It
might be
TV?
On ESPN Plus.
They
probably.
Do the Amazon Prime games.
I think they stream it on ESPN Plus.
Mm-hmm.
Again, only available in the U.S.
Yeah.
Because I don't even know if Peacock streams Sunday Night Football alongside it because I don't think it would. It's a good question. I think it would be. Maybe it's on ESPN Plus a few hours after the game.
It's a bit of a juggernaut, this football thing. Between the betting and the fantasy, and then just actually enjoying the sport itself.
The Sunday, like what the with the Falcon or sorry with the Dolphins,
mm-hmm.
with what the Jets did,
mm-hmm.
and what the Cardinals did. Those massive comebacks. Like,
and a lot of people didn't see them because they weren't national. Yeah, like, especially if you're up here in Canada.
That's why Red Zone was big on Sunday for that stuff. I'm watching it on my phone, but like it was still like that is just dramatic. That was like it's a drug, it feels like. The NFL is a damn vice. It is a drug. And it's just for good and for its bad, man, it keeps us going. And even with the crap games yesterday, tuned in. Four quarters.
I do love sitting down on Sundays and just getting the seatbelt. Click.
Yeah.
Right there. Seven hours commercial free. Did you enjoy Red Zone this week? I've only got to watch one set of games in the Red Zone through 2 weeks of the season, and I'm kind of sad about it.
Yeah. I shouldn't say. This one was probably the most I've paid attention to for the first 2 weeks was this past Sunday. And just like it opened up. First thing was the Devin Duvernay kick return touchdown to open the game.
Oh,
the
right as I highlight. Turned on the stream, I was like, oh, let's go. Yes!
Like, you know, this day was going to be a crazy day, and it sure was. I think there was maybe 2-3 games that were like, meh.
Well, there was what? There was the Giants game that was only field goals early on.
Giants-Panthers was kind of boring. I mean, on the Giants being 2-0, first time since 2016.
And then the Buccaneers and the Saints was also a snoozer until it wasn't.
And I needed Tom Brady to be a little, you know, throwing the Microsoft Surface, getting under Marshawn Lattimore's skin. And
thanks for getting the right tablet there.
Yeah.
Right? Everyone's saying it's an iPad, and it wasn't.
No. Microsoft deal with NFL. Yeah. No. But another thing I noticed. The Bose headphones aren't around anymore. They've got the NFL crest on the headphones because Bose, they don't have a deal with them anymore.
Really?
So the NFL...
You always pick up on weird stuff like that. I almost swore
right
there.
Yeah, you did. But no...
Good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, it's... they just... This
ads,
league,
man.
This ads and everything is crazy. This league is nuts, but keeps us going, but...
Fun. And now we go on to week 3. How'd you do in fantasy?
I got beat Bender. Beat Bender in the other league, the old Radio Hack League.
Mm-hmm.
And Logo hung a good one on me in our new radio league.
You know why I have no
league.
Sympathy for what Logan did for you this week?
Because
you did the
I did the same
thing,
but in the other league. Yeah, he had the...
It was the old... the most points of the week against the least points of the week.
Yeah, he had two.
It's real demoralizing.
He had 230 burgers, guys. He had Waddle go for 34.6 and then Aaron Jones go for 30.5.
Me and the boss, the new boss, Art, were to the wire. He had Dalvin Cook and I had Dallas Goedert, and I ended up beating him by less than a point.
Goedert had a better game than Cook, for sure.
So I was very happy about that.
Only one to score under 100 points this week in that league was me.
Yeah, I know.
84.68. What the hell happened?
You were trash, dude. I beat Tyreek Hill, who had the second most points of any player that wasn't a quarterback.
You know, Kyle Pitts did not have a good game. Jonathan Taylor did not have a good game.
There's a lot of, like, we got a pretty good show coming up.
Devontae did not have a good game.
We got a pretty good show coming up. We're going to talk some Flyers. We're going to talk some Avalanche. We're going to talk some baseball. But we're also going to talk a little bit of fantasy football. And that's one of my questions for Derek Brown, who's joining us from Fantasy Pros.
Mm-hmm.
Who are you pushing the panic button on? Jonathan Taylor, Derrick Henry? Neither of them had very good weeks, and both of them were top five picks.
Yeah, like...
Now, granted, Derrick Henry went up against the Bills. It's a tough matchup. He still scored you a touchdown.
He was
close to 10 points.
It's why I didn't hate if somebody had the first overall pick taking Cooper Kupp. I didn't hate that. If somebody took Cooper Kupp first overall, I was like, oh, cool.
How the first few weeks been for CMC? I haven't even seen him.
Good game against Cleveland. He had a touchdown. I think he's pretty silent against the Giants.
That would make sense the way that game went. Well, that's the start of the NFL. We're very much looking forward to it, and we are going to talk a little bit of fantasy. That's going to be around 8:30 or midway through hour number 3. Just before we do what you want to talk about, Derek Brown is going to join us, and Patty's actually put together a pretty quality show here. Jordan Hall from NBC Sports in Philadelphia going to join us just after 7 o'clock. That's starting hour number 2. Going to be talking a little bit about the Flyers. Yesterday we found out that Sean Couturier going to be missing some more time. Another back injury, this one sustained while doing strength and conditioning tests. Elliot Friedman reporting that they're going for a second opinion. But there are other reports out there that it's a herniated disc, and the team is looking at losing him for 12 weeks from some reporters that are, you know, boots on the ground in Philadelphia. So we'll get into that with Jordan Hall just after 7 o'clock. Adnan Virk's going to join us around 7:30. Our boy from Cinephile.
Double and, Philly action here.
MLB Network. Yeah, I guess that's true, 100%. We'll probably also ask Adnan about the Eagles and about the Flyers and all that type of thing. But we're also going to ask him about the Blue Jays. And he's standing a actor in some of his old movies that he's looking at lately on the Cinephile podcast. And I'm going to ask him what his favorite role for this actor was, because I got a couple.
I like this actor.
Got a couple of nominations myself.
Yeah.
From some of his recent work. So we'll get into that. Connor McGahee, who we've had on the station quite a
absolutely
bit.
Absolutely beautiful.
Over the course of the Stanley Cup playoff run.
Brody, we have a, I believe I have a McGahee montage in one of the folders we can play coming in.
There we go.
Because he is, Alex would know of Connor McGahee's
cult. When did
cult.
You start here, Alex?
I've only been here for about 2 months.
So he missed the cup run, obviously.
Yeah.
And McGahee had some absolutely beautiful calls for the Avs through the cups for the, through their cup run and the season.
So good. He's so good. Him and Bob McElligott in Columbus, two of my absolute favorites, who quirky, but also not like in a totally annoying nuisance way.
They own
in like
it.
A it's very their, yeah. enjoyable, entertaining, but also dare I say cool way.
Yeah.
Dare I say it. So we're going to talk to Connor McGahee. That's going to be after 8 o'clock, and we got some cavalry tickets to give away. Alex is going to come up with some sort of great question. It's going to be hard hitting. Yesterday was which one of the Trafford brothers is older.
Yeah, that was a good one. I heard that. I heard that one.
Thanks for listening. Yeah. I appreciate you.
Is that it? Listen to the back half.
Yeah, good for you. Just the back half though. Hey?
Just the back half. Okay. Well, I was warned the back half was better than the first half.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair. Young Stars tournament wrapped up yesterday.
It sure did.
You watched a lot of it, I bet.
I watched a little bit of highlights on Twitter. I paid a little bit more attention to the yesterday's game.
Yeah.
I like the start time.
Yesterday, noon on a Monday?
Love that.
Love that.
Like, there's nothing
like if
else
you have like a real
on.
Job, I'm sorry, but maybe you also can get the Flames website at work and you probably just like put it on during lunch anyway.
Exactly.
But yeah, pretty good time. Yeah. I got up from my nap. I threw it on. I was doing some chores. I had it on in the background. The Flames prospects looked pretty good yesterday. They fire 44 shots on net. But this kind of was like almost a sample size of really what when you look at when you compare the Flames prospect pool to some others. Yes, the Flames have some solid prospects. You look at Azeri, Pelletier, Wolf, et cetera, et cetera. The guys that we talk about all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they're notable prospects. But are they the same offensive blue chip type of prospects that some other pools have?
Mm-hmm.
Like Matt Coronado would probably be the guy that would fit in that group. But obviously he's at Harvard with their season already starting. So he hasn't been at the Young Stars.
Mm-hmm.
But yesterday for the Winnipeg Jets.
Lambert.
It's Chaz Lucius.
Yeah.
It's Brad Lambert. It is Cole Perfetti that are scoring goals for the Winnipeg Jets and helping them beat the Flames. What was it? 5-3.
Yeah.
Even though the Flames almost doubled up the Jets in shots.
Yeah.
It's just how the prospect pools are.
Yeah, and you mentioned like with the way the Flames wanted to coach this tournament is how they coach the big club. Same style of coaching, you know, like same style of play. And yeah, they may not have the type high-end prospects that maybe Winnipeg or even Vancouver might have. It's just, you know, this is the style they want to play. I don't think Sutter's going to be looking back at this crew like, oh, they lost.
Yeah.
Oh, God, 5-3 to the Jets or 4-1 to the Oilers or whatever it was. No, it's prospects. And, yeah, you want to see your prospects do well. And I think what you want is you don't want to see Jake Pelletier play against guys that are prospects. You want to see him play against NHLers. You want to see him play against guys that are already established. And I think we'll obviously get that with camp opening up. Next Sunday, when the Canucks roll through the dome, good chance Jake Pelletier is probably in that starting lineup.
I feel like he might be going to Vancouver.
Going to Vancouver, he might be?
Maybe.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's the split squad.
Because they got
night.
Split squad that night, and I feel like, I don't know, it's also the first game of the preseason, so you never really know how they're going to trot things out.
That's fair.
But I could see him going. But I understand
your
point.
You just want Pelletier against guys that he wants to be playing.
Listen,
he
was one of the
career.
He was one of the better players in the AHL last year.
Yeah,
he doesn't need to go to the Young Stars. Dustin Wolf doesn't need to go to the Young Stars. Cole Perfetti doesn't need to go to the Young Stars. But it's just a little bit of a difference in maybe the mindset, and I don't know if the saying that the Flames prospects aren't necessarily high end. They're just not the skill set that, you know, a lot of fans love to watch. Like, Lucius is an offensive guy. Mm-hmm. Lambert is a very offensively minded player. Perfetti, very much the same.
Yeah.
Whereas I look at a guy like Peltier or like a guy like Zeri, and I'm like, these guys are hard to play against.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're annoying to play against. And when you say, like, they wanted this team to play much like the Flames, you look at the roster, like, this was a big team, too. Mm-hmm. They brought 9 defensemen. 6 of them were at least 6'2 or taller. In the forward ranks, they had 15 forwards. I think 6 or 7 of them were at least 6'2", highlighted by Adam Klapka, who was getting all the eyes at 6'7", and, you know, had that fight broken up yesterday in that game that I was disappointed of because I didn't get to see the one against the Edmonton team. But, there were little things that you look for, and Schwint kind of popped a few times. I thought watching him was kind of cool. But that's kind of what the take away for me. You know, the first game was sloppish.
Yeah.
But that's your first game coming out of the summer.
Yeah, I think just getting these guys in a group again, rather than just putting on the real jersey for the first time in a few months, just proper lines, rolling out lines, being in the room with the coaches, it just feels better. I think it helps these guys get a boost, maybe gives them a little bit more boost heading into camp. They'll be joining up here tomorrow with the fitness testing and whatnot when camp officially opens. So, you know, I think the prospects are also built to how Sutter and this team is built, how Tree Living and Sutter have built. They've molded this style of team, and the prospect pool reflects that. These are guys that can contribute to this team and help them play in April and May and hopefully June.
Jacob Pelletier does score 1 goal in the loss to the Winnipeg Jets. He's going to be a guy that's fighting for a spot on the roster this year. But the fight got tougher yesterday.
Sure did.
The Flames have signed Sonny Milano to a PTO, previously with the Anaheim Ducks. You would know him as the recipient of the Dishigan from Trevor Zegras. Mm-hmm. That was kind of his claim to fame this past season. He's definitely an offensively skilled guy. Like, I remember going back to his draft year, he had some of those wild kind of stick handling videos on YouTube. He ended up going in the first round to Columbus, and then being dealt later to the Anaheim Ducks. A guy who really seemed to enjoy living on the beach, just judging from some conversations that I heard Trevor Zegras have on some different podcasts and stuff like that. Yeah, who wouldn't, right?
Yeah.
An offensively-minded guy. He's kind of in his mid-20s. Last year was good when he was playing with Zegras, but, you know, there was up and down parts of it as well, like a struggle with consistency. So I'm intrigued, but lukewarm on if it'll work. If it does, outstanding. Mm-hmm. You'd love to see it, but I'm just unsure. And then the other thing is Sportsnet's own Eric Francis reporting that the Flames have signed Brett Ritchie to a 1-year deal.
Yeah, there's gonna be a lot. There's a lot of bodies around this camp, and it just generates competition. Obviously, Sutter knows Brett Ritchie. Sutter doesn't know Sonny Milano, so we'll see what happens with what Milano can bring. This is a guy that, you know, yeah, he's the left shot. You know, maybe you wanted a guy that's where you wanted Rodriguez or somebody with the right shot. But it's fine. This is a guy that, like you said, has showed some skill at points in his time in junior, 68 points at Plymouth. You know, decent at the under 18 level at the U.S. national team, contributed at the world junior level. Just maybe hasn't had the same run of luck in the NHL. Like, it seems to be caps off like a 55-60 games a year, and then maybe around 30-point guy. And I think if you can get a 30-point guy out of Sonny Milano, I think you're all right. I think you're not asking him to be a 50-60, like what maybe Columbus thought he was going to be. It's a PTO. It's a low risk. And who knows? Like, again, I believe it was Wes Gilbertson put it on Twitter yesterday with the Flames having only $2 million or so in cap space and Milano being a PTO. If Milano has a really good preseason, a really good camp, another team could possibly throw him a contract that the Flames might not be able to afford.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another possibility here.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, he's probably looking at something 1 year anyway.
Yeah.
If he gets it just based on...
I don't know if he's getting 1.2, one times 2.5. Probably not.
And then there's Adam Rozicka. Still unsigned. And he's one of eight RFAs who remain unsigned across the NHL. I wouldn't say he's the most notable. That would be Jason Robertson, but he's one of the guys that's relevant. The Oilers have an issue up the road with Ryan McLeod. And there's a couple defensemen, Rasmus Sandin and Nicholas Hägg in Toronto and Vegas, respectively. Formington with Ottawa, Barrett Hayton in Arizona, and Parker Wotherspoon with the Islanders, round out the group of restricted free agents. But just continue to, I don't know, this is something that I feel is probably going to get done sooner rather than later, but as it drags on and we got, you know, fitness testing coming up this week and the first skates later this week, and like you mentioned, your first preseason game coming up on Sunday, going still unsigned, hey?
Was he up here on Wednesday?
Yeah,
he was here. He's here. So that's the one thing, you know, he's here.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Brett Ritchie was not here.
I don't know what's going on. Like, yeah. if the age, like,
I don't know.
Ruzicka, obviously, for his development, needs to play. And if him playing top 6 minutes in the AHL is fine for his development, I know he's not that type of player. I think a lot of people think he might be. Like, as a fourth line mucker, I don't think
he's got
ability.
More skill. Everyone looks at the size and they say put him on the fourth line, but he doesn't, like, for being 6'3" 6'4", he doesn't go out and run people over and that type of thing. Like, he's a pretty smooth skater. Yeah. He's got good hands, he's got good vision. Like, he's more of a middle six guy to me, or in the AHL, a top line player.
Yeah, so get him in here. We'll see what happens.
I assume that this is something where the Flames have said, listen, here's your qualifying offer. Take it or leave it. Last year, you were fine.
Yeah.
You didn't blow the doors off. Mm-hmm. You weren't awful.
Mm-hmm.
You were strong in the AHL when you were down there. Come play for another year. And yeah, understand that, yes, we've brought some people in, but now you got to win a job.
Yeah.
And frankly, you should have to win a job.
Mm-hmm.
You shouldn't get it handed to you.
Exactly.
Like, last year did not show me that, yes, you, without a doubt, deserve a middle six, top six spot on this team, especially as a centerman.
Got to go earn it. And there's guys that are around
here. Palche is going to be the exact same.
Yep.
So, and it's
Milano will be having to earn a job here. Like, there's tons of guys that need
this
to.
This is a competitive team.
Yeah.
And on competitive teams, you got to fight for jobs.
Competitive bottom six is good news.
Yes. Thank you. Good way to put it. Thank you. Gosh.
You're welcome.
You don't want those guys to get complacent down there.
Yeah. You want them fighting all the time. Not fighting, physically fighting the other
team. Yeah, you don't want them, like, hating each other, but you want them to be battling and always trying to improve and be better.
Your internal engine of a team, that bottom six. Those guys going.
Yeah.
You're going to win most nights.
100%. Yeah. Yeah, when Milan Lucic was playing some of his best hockey, this team was an absolute force. They were hard to deal with because not only did they have the elite offensive talent in top line, Lindholm and what were those two guys' names? Mm-hmm. I can't even remember anymore.
Barkley Goodrow.
Wasn't he in the Rangers? Something like that. I don't know. I think he went to play in Cleveland or something
there
like that.
There you go.
But yeah. Rookie tournament's done. Off to training camp. We're gonna be sitting in the dome on Sunday watching preseason Flames hockey.
We're in the shirt now, man. This is it. We're getting into this here. Every sport's on the go.
It is, and swear to God, just right there, right into that vein, my friend. Listen, we got to take a break. Morning reports coming up next. Jays were off. We'll talk about the young stars a little bit. A couple of nice NFL games that we took in, and maybe a little football note as well. All coming up in the morning report for Motorworks Around the Corner. You're listening to The Big Show. Keep it locked. Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Let's get into it. It's time for the morning report. It's brought to you by Motorworks. We got a lot of guests. We got to get to this. Exceeding all expectations, BMW repairs and service in a state-of-the-art facility where they'll meet and beat all competitors' quotes on 51st Ave and 3rd Street Southeast.
Marty Rose.
Matt Rose.
Matt Rose. Well, we kind of touched on it off the top. But it was the end of the Young Stars tournament out in Penticton. We're getting so close to Flames exhibition hockey.
It's the real.
Only positive vibes.
Only positive vibes.
Because the real deal is coming up, Patrick.
The real deal.
Calgary would leave Penticton without a win.
Eh.
But they did outshoot the Jets prospects 44-23 in their game yesterday afternoon. The Jets star forwards were shining. Chaz Lucius, Cole Perfetti, Brad Lambert, they all scored. Jacob Pelche, Emilio Peterson, and Chris Sedoff all scoring for Stockton in a 5-3 setback. So it's on to training camp. Stockton? Who wrote this? What the? Oh, for Calgary. Stockton.
It's all good.
How many times am I going to do that this year?
I think a few times.
A lot. It's going to be a lot. Ugh. Darn. On to training camp with performance testing coming up on Wednesday. And how about this? Sportsnet's own Eric Francis reporting that the Flames have signed Brett Ritchie to a one-year deal. Not official by the club just yet. They did make it official. Sonny Milano, a PTO, announced earlier on Monday morning.
Yeah, I think Milano was everybody's second choice if they weren't going to get Evan Rodriguez. It was like, yeah, let's get Sonny Milano.
I think it was
town.
Phil Kessel was two. Yeah, that was for me. That was my tier.
Yeah, I think Phil would have been cool.
It would have been
down
cool.
The wing.
It would have been cool.
It would have been almost better than Yager because you were getting Yager way at the end. Like, what is he? Just
he was
getting
so
a paycheck.
Hurt, man.
Like, I mean, he's still playing.
He was so hurt, though.
Yeah, he was really beat up. But you're getting, you know, Kessel. I get it. But, you know, whatever. That's fine. I think, you know, Milano is a decent signing as well. PTO guy. This is a guy coming off his best season in the NHL. Guy that he's hungry.
He's going to play a lot of preseason games.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
What he's going to do.
This guy's going to, if he could play both games on Sunday, he probably would.
Saw a trade in the NHL as well.
We have a trade to announce.
The Stars traded a 2023 protected.
I don't like this one, though.
Okay. Good. The Stars traded 2023 protected first round pick and a conditional 2025 fourth round pick to the Rangers for defenseman Nils Lundqvist. If the blue liner. That's right. Lundqvist is a blue liner, not the goaltender who retired. If the blue liner posts back-to-back 55-point seasons with the Stars in the next two seasons, that pick will upgrade from a fourth to the fifth. In 25 games with the Rangers last season, Lundqvist blew the doors off. He had one goal and 4 points.
Oh, it's 55, baby.
Just 51 short in his first taste of NHL action. A pretty successful point producer over in the SHL. 2 years prior, the ages of 20 and 21. He's still a pretty young player, but it is a big return for a guy that has upside but limited North American experience. He's 5'11", 185, right shot, 28th overall in 2018, just turned 22 at the end of July, and is signed for 2 more years at $925K. Patty Dumas, not a fan.
I don't like it because it's just like it's such an unknown, and you're giving a first in. I get it, it's lottery protected, top 10. It's not like Bedard is going to be a Ranger or anything. It's still that is a very good draft in 2023. And you're sending. I get it's the Rangers, kind of a win now type team. You get Lundqvist maybe with getting Pam alongside Adam Fox. Who the heck knows what happens there? Could be a very very positive move for Lundqvist, but I don't know. It's a lot. It's so much. And for a team that starts, they got Jason Robertson to sign. Now they don't have a first in what is a really good draft. And the Stars, they're a bubble team at best. There's no guarantee that's going to be a top 15 pick. Good chance it could be.
Yeah, 100%. Elsewhere, Keith Yandle announced his retirement after 16 NHL seasons. The Song Daddy himself hanging him up.
It sucked how it ended last year for him, getting, you know, healthy scratch and whatnot, ending the streak. It's a good career for Keith.
He also wasn't playing very well.
Wasn't playing very well. I get it. Yeah, but, yeah, that's fair.
World's tiniest violin.
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
In Philadelphia.
If you're not going to be stiff, you're not going to play.
Sean Couturier, a little bit stiff. Week to week with an upper body injury.
More than stiff.
Reports of Philly are herniated disc suffered in strength and conditioning drills. Elliot Friedman reporting that they are seeking a second opinion right now, but that's bad. The future very uncertain with Ryan Ellis as well. Just two of your top players who just have not been available for what? The better part of a year now.
Yep. And no Giroux there anymore. It's new era in Philly. We'll talk with Jordan.
Farabee's hurt.
Yeah, like this is a crew, new coach. I don't think obviously you're looking at Flyers are probably maybe the top five worst team in the league.
Mm-hmm.
I would think, but you know Torts will have them playing, but there's only so much Tortorella's yelling and his coaching style can do. Not a good group right now in Philly.
Not a great group for sure. We will shift our focus from the NHL into a little bit of football.
Football's here. It's like daddy's home.
Starting with the Bills hosting the Titans on ESPN, and my goodness, was Orchard Park losing their mind. Bills Mafia was in full force, so the Bills fed them early.
Opening drive for the Buffalo Bills. Allen off the play fake. Gives it to Gilliam, the fullback. Trying to make some people miss. Down the sideline. End zone. Touchdown, Buffalo. It's Reggie Gilliam, the fullback, for the score.
Do you think anybody loves a fullback touchdown more than... Okay, more than Patty. I was going to say more than Bills fans, but sure.
Hey, I love when the fullbacks get involved still. I mean, it's a dying position, maybe... Kyle Juszczyk got a touchdown on the weekend for the Niners as well.
Yeah.
So love it when the fullbacks get some love.
Listen, that wasn't easy either.
No.
Like, it was funny because the touchdown goes in and the analyst is like, I really like the play call. And I was like, that play got blown up behind the line.
He just
was able to get through a couple tackles and get in the end zone. That play exploded and that fullback saved your bacon. So that was the first touchdown. An early pass for... the Bills. The Titans would answer with their own 9-play, 75-yard drive and ended in a Derrick Henry 2-yard touchdown plunge. That tied the game at the end of the first quarter. Tyler Bass would hit a long field goal to give the Bills a 3-point lead. Then late in the second, they would add on.
Fake to Moss. Allen wants to throw across his body. It's caught! Stephon Diggs for the touchdown. The easiest touchdown catch he'll ever make.
That on 4th and 1, so Bills up 17-7 at the half. Diggs and Allen went into the locker room, couple fist bumps, work on a new touchdown dance perhaps. All they had to do next was get back to the house.
Allen on 2nd and 10. Stepping up into the logo and throw. He's got Diggs wide open. It's caught. Touchdown. 46-yard strike. Josh Allen to Stephon Diggs.
The Bills would add another 3 points after a muffed punt return for the Titans. They could not do anything right with the crowd absolutely yelling down their necks. The next possession for the Titans, an interception by Tannehill and Stephon Diggs. Honestly, it was getting a little gluttonous at this point.
Pressure for the Titans. Allen throws right into the teeth of it to Diggs. Another touchdown for Buffalo. Third of the night. Allen to Diggs. And the Bills starting to blow the Titans out of the building.
Gabe Davis owners, like, come on, guys. Give me a little love over here.
What are we doing?
Oh, so.
Yeah, that's why Diggs got all the love. It's all right.
Shoot. That's too bad.
All right.
Well, could it get any worse for me in this report? Could it get any worse for the Titans in their game?
From just inside the 4.
Hill empties the backfield on 2nd and 13. Has some pressure. Throws. It's intercepted. Matt Milano, pick 6, Buffalo, and it's all Bills tonight.
The answer is yes, it can always get worse.
Somehow,
41-7, the Bills win it.
Somehow that team was the one seed in the AFC last year.
The Titans?
Yeah.
Taylor Lewin got hurt early, and it really seemed to mess with the offensive line. Now, granted, it's a pretty good front for Buffalo, too, and Derrick Henry always has trouble against that. But when you lose your starting tackle early on, that... definitely does not help. Malik Willis replaced Tannehill at quarterback late in the game after the pick 6. Bills did cover the 10-point spread and almost hit the total of 47 themselves.
That's a good group. They just make it look so dang easy, don't they? Oh. Like, that's 2 in a row now for Buffalo. Made it look so easy against
LA. The running
LA.
Game is still choppy, and like it feels like it has misguided. Like, it doesn't really have much of a...
Yeah.
Purpose.
And it hasn't, for some time in Buffalo, they have had
just cycle through
them. They just can't get the running game going in that place. I'm trying to think, they have running backs previous, like, after Thurman Thomas, but, you know, it has been a very...
It's been by committee.
Suspect.
Forever.
Yeah.
And it hasn't necessarily been like, yay, we're excited about this committee. It's like, God, I hope one of these guys can run the ball. Holy.
It's like Singletary, meh, Moss, eh. Yeah. James Cook, I think, was the guy they were really banking on. He fumbles in week 1. He barely touches the ball the rest of the way. Doesn't get much action yesterday either. So there's one thing you don't like about the Bills is they will... they struggle to run the ball, but with an offense like Josh Allen and that
and
receiving
he can
core,
use his feet
exactly.
Himself.
Josh Allen,
the quarterback draws and stuff like that. It's some of the most successful run plays they
and
can do.
They can line up digs in the backfield as well. Yeah. The way teams are using receivers as running backs now, it's the running back position is not as valuable as it once was. It's almost like your position and speed matters at running back. Not so. It's more like the guys in front of you pushing and getting the holes open for you. That's what matters.
A bit later, it was the Eagles and it was the Vikings going toe-to-toe on ABC. A couple of teams looking to start 2-0. And how about the start for Jalen Hurts?
From just inside the four, Hurts to the end zone for the touchdown. Second down and 8 for the Eagles at their own 47. Good protection again. Launch downfield. Watkins wide open. Touchdown.
Sammy Watkins. No, it's Quez Watkins. Quez. But Sammy's he always
Sammy
used to steal touchdowns
too.
From the Chiefs. That was very on point. Quez Watkins out there getting the big grab. Hurts runs in another. How about 10 for 10 to start the game for Jalen Hurts? Also had a touchdown on the ground and in the air as the Eagles were up 14-0 after the first quarter. The Vikings would eventually get a nice offensive drive to start the second. Efficient Kirk Cousins has some weapons this year. A rare touchdown pass, not to Justin Jefferson, got Minnesota on the board. It was Irv Smith with a touchdown. Just a nice grab for the big man in the end zone. So the Vikings got on the board.
He had a mistake later on, though.
But the Philly, but the Philly crowd was loud. They got the offense a nice boost. And this season, Jalen Hurts, he's going to be doing things like this. And for Eagles fans and for fantasy owners, you're going to love watching this all season long.
Hurts keeps around the edge and bends it back down, fighting for the end zone. What a run!
Yeah.
Touchdown, Philadelphia!
Yeah,
second of the night for Hurts.
What a run.
Legs were chugging, three guys trying to get
off
him down.
Off the ground, the strength to stretch the ball over the line, and he's still off the ground. And then the ABC broadcast is like, 500-pound squats in high school, 600-pound squats when he went to Oklahoma. Guy's a beast.
26 yards on the run there as he put on a show for the home crowd. The Vikings would march down to the red zone, but Kirk Cousins up to his old tricks again.
Second down and 10. Good protection. End zone pick. Pass is intercepted by Slay. A flag is down at the 25.
Now, unfortunately, the Eagles wouldn't be able to turn that into any points. A blocked field goal by the Vikings, keeping it a 3-score game at the end of the third quarter. Kirk Cousins threw another interception, spoiling the point swing on the blocked field goal, though. The Eagles would then throw an interception on a bobbled screen pass, allowing the Vikings to rumble into the red zone and have a chance to change the script for this game once again.
Blitz. Cousins to the end zone and intercepted. What a night for Darius Slay.
Two red zone interceptions for Kirk Cousins, both of them to Darius Slay. He had the two picks. He also had four pass knockdowns as he was stapled to Justin Jefferson all night long. Wild part is, on that play right there, it was an identical play to the one they ran before. And Darius Slay almost picked the one off before, too.
Yeah.
So they basically just give him a second try, and he did it. This time, that would be it. 24-7, your final score. Philly covered the spread, but they did not hit the total, which was up in the mid-40s. Go Birds. I don't know if you saw that video on Twitter yesterday of the just buckled Eagles fan just yelling in this Vikings lady's face.
Go Birds.
You don't respect us. You can hear her yell.
You don't respect us, Minnesotans.
Go Birds.
He's kind of doing the Dougie while he's doing it. He's just mangled. Oh, my goodness. Good for him. Also, you see who else looked a little sunglasses on in that game?
There's a lot of celebrities in the crowd.
Travis Kelce looked like he had a couple of Michelob Ultras. Sir, Bradley, watching his brother.
Yeah, Bradley Cooper was there. James Harden got the ball, was given the ball by...
James got, the first or second interception by Slay? The first one?
The first one, yeah. He was given the first one, yeah.
And then you're right, Bradley Cooper, he just looked like he was having a great time.
Oh, yeah.
Taking it all in. Yeah. And then there was Travis Kelce, who looked...
with his brother's jersey on.
Hashtag in one.
They have a podcast. I did not know. It airs. They record it every Wednesday.
The Kelce brothers
do? Kelce brothers have a podcast. Comes out Wednesdays.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's great news. You should subscribe to The Big Show on Apple, Spotify, Google, or Amazon.
Kirk Cousins, 2-10 on Monday Night Football.
Well, there's 6-2-0 teams remaining, 3 in each conference. Can you name who they are?
Undefeated? Well, without looking.
Because I know that you're a nerd. You can do it.
Dolphins.
Uh-huh.
Bills.
Uh-huh.
Eagles.
Uh-huh.
Bucks.
Uh-huh.
Giants.
Uh-huh. One more. This is the easy one.
Oh, the old Patty Mahomes.
Yes, sir. God, that's why I love you. Looking ahead to week 3, we only got one battle between the undefeateds. Do you know who that is?
We get Dolphins-Bills this week?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Sunday morning, 11 o'clock, the only matchup of the undefeated. The rest all have other opponents that they're going to have to deal with.
I am so excited for this Miami Dolphin team.
Aren't they fun to watch? Oh. Like, Ravens and...
Dolphins
was the best game of the weekend, right?
Down 24-7 entering the fourth quarter.
Like,
they had 3 touchdowns in the final 2 minutes.
They both hit the total pretty much.
Yeah.
I know it was 54, so they were both close, but...
Essentially.
Yeah.
Mike McDaniel, man.
Dolphins and Bills. That'll be a lot of fun. That one is down in Miami, though. So a little bit of a different twist.
The heat might affect the old Northern boys.
Well, exactly, right?
New England went down there way too early, and I think that messed with them.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe go down when you're supposed to on Friday.
They got a little of that sunshine, got a little fat and jolly.
A little bit.
Mm. In addition, just a little bit of news coming out of Sunday. Mike Evans, receiver for the Buccaneers, suspended for his part in an altercation in the Buccaneers game against the Saints. Did you see the replay where they did the lip reading?
And no,
he goes, it's Tom Brady. What do you want me to do? They're like, dude, you can't run from the sideline and deck a guy like that. He goes, it's Tom Brady. What do you want me to do?
He was walking the sideline and then just bolts back and just decks Lattimore.
Of course it's Lattimore, right? Like those two always in each other's face.
It gets spicy down in New Orleans. I believe is that what he said after the game. Mike Evans says it gets spicy down in New Orleans.
It does. Yeah. Todd Bowles, not very happy though. The head coach of the Buccaneers, gotta keep you cool, Mike.
It hurts our team because we lose a very good ball player. We don't want that. We don't condone it. And you know, we got to move forward and try to find a way to win without him. That should be a lesson to all our other players. This is a controlled aggression game. You know, it's a controlled aggression game, and you try to protect your teammates, but you got to do it the right way.
You got the schedule in front of you there?
I know they're playing the Packers this weekend.
That's what I was looking for. Perfect. We'll switch to the NFL. Blue Jays had one of their final off days of the regular season on Monday, 6-4 in their last 10. They'll look to get back in the win column. After taking 2 of 3 against the Orioles last weekend, they'll start a 2-game set with the Phillies tonight. 4:45 first pitch. It's going to be Bob Ross on the mound.
Bob Ross stripling today. He was painting.
15 games remaining for both of the most clubs. A look at some of the other playoff races from yesterday's action. We'll start with the American League wildcard race as the Jays were in the first wildcard spot, a half game up on the Rays, 2 games up on the Mariners as they entered Monday's action. We'll start with the shorthanded Mariners, and they are shorthanded after they lost third baseman Eugenio Suarez to a fractured finger on the weekend. Julio Rodriguez was a late scratch this weekend with lower back tightness. Day-to-day, the team believing that to be a function of the rookie just playing a full major league season. They were closing out a series in Anaheim with the Angels. This one was close until the fifth.
Pitch from Suarez. Fly ball deep left field. Giddy up, baby. Giddy up. There it goes. A grand slam by Carlos Santana. Carlos Santana with a grand slam, and the Mariners have a 5-0 lead.
9-1. A big victory for the Seattle Mariners, Carlos Santana with the grand slam. Elsewhere, the Rays were hosting the Astros to kick off a three-game set. Seattle has the easiest schedule down the way, no questions asked. On the other hand, Tampa's got one of the toughest schedules. They got another set with the Astros, a huge one with the Jays, another one with Cleveland, then they wrap it up with the Bo Sox. This game against the Astros did not go their way.
And there's a shot back into left field, and there's some of that power, and that's out of here. Home run number 25 for Altuve.
A solo shot for Jose Altuve, a leadoff solo shot. They would add three more in the top of the sixth and shut out the Rays 4-0. The Astros clinched first in their division and a first-round bye with that win, so Toronto in the first wild card, Rays a half game back in Seattle, a game and a half back. The winner of the Central is up in the air, although hopes are fading for the White Sox. The Guardians are four games up on the Sox after an 11-4 win over the Twins. The key series here is the one that begins tonight, a three-game set between the White Sox and the Guardians. It's in Chicago. First pitch at 6:10 tonight. Over in the National League, battle for the NL East continues to rage between the Mets and the Braves. The Mets starting a three-game set with the Brewers, while the Braves are starting a three-game set with the Nationals. And the Nationals are brutal. They're the worst team in the majors. They were undone in the fourth inning of this particular contest.
And a drive into right field. Thomas will play that safe. That'll score a run. RBI hit for Travis d'Arnaud. The Braves cash in the walk and extend the lead. On the ground, and that sneaks through for a hit. Olsen scores. d'Arnaud heading for third. The throw there is in time. High fly ball will chase Robles back. That'll be plenty deep enough. Michael will tag after the catch. He'll jog home. ABC Baseball for the Braves, fellas. It's 4-0.
The Braves won it 5-3 after they played a whole bunch in the fourth inning. Just needed the Mets to lose, and the division would be that much closer. But the Mets had other ideas. More specifically, Max Scherzer had other ideas.
3-2 coming to Renfro. And it's in there for a call, strike three. French toast. And the breaking ball struck him out. Five perfect innings for Max Scherzer. 1-2 coming. Struck him out. Scherzer blows one by Mitchell.
Well, pretty good outing for Max Scherzer. My
one of
goodness.
The best.
Six innings of, yes, that's right, a perfect game.
Mm-hmm.
No walks, no hits. 9 strikeouts. He would leave after 68 pitches as he's just returning from an injury.
Yeah.
And he said at the end, he was like, yeah, I'm cool with it. Like, I knew that was going to be the big deal. But
it's kind of like Kershaw at the start of the year.
Yeah, sure.
Like when the
French toast.
Love that.
French toast.
He's toast at the plate. He's French, though. I don't know.
I don't know. Do we know why he says that?
I don't know.
Okay. The Mets did beat the Brewers 7-2, and that does affect the playoff races. The Brewers are now 2.5 games out of a wild card spot, trailing the Phillies. That'll pretty much do it for us. Stamps will be back on the practice field today as well. That's all I really got to tell you there. That'll do it for your morning report.
And good night, and good luck to you, sir.
It's brought to you by Motorworks, exceeding all expectations. BMW repairs and service in a state-of-the-art facility where they'll meet and beat all competitors' quotes. On 51st Ave and 3rd Street Southeast. Boom. Schedule today. What can we tell you? What are we monitoring? Actually, not a lot. Stamps are back in practice. Their first practice of the week as they play in BC on Saturday. And the Jays and the Phillies, 4:45.
It's a big one. I mean, the Jays have played the NL teams pretty well this year. It's only a two-game mini set. The Phillies are kind of in their own NL wild card race. A little bit more solidified in their pursuits for that, I believe. But no, it's a big one. Jays, Philly saw Bryce Harper was at the Eagles game yesterday as well.
Oh.
So, yeah, all of Philly was out.
Speaking of Philly.
More
and the,
Philly coming.
And the Jays.
No respect.
You got no respect. This guy has zero respect. He is a menace to society. I'll tell you that for free. Listen, we'll take a break. Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. Getting a workout for really the next 2 hours. 4 straight guests. We're talking Flyers around the corner. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.